This is Vern Casper. Party Line was put on the air to give voice to problem solving in our community. The
Party Line Team. AM 1570, 96.9, and Boone 102.7 FM. WILO, Frankfort, Lebanon, Delphi. Talking local.
This is Party Line on WILO, at your side since 1960. This is your forum for public opinion and comment. The opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent the views of WILO management, employees, or sponsors. Now let's join Party Line on WILO.
Hey, good morning. It is Thursday morning. Shan Sheridan with you on a Thursday. Appropriate song, Lay Down Sally. We're thinking those winds laying down a little bit in Florida now. Thank God that that monster is pretty much through. And we certainly keep praying for all the folks down in not only just Florida, but Carolina, Tennessee, all the places down there. We're going to be talking about emergencies and emergency management coming up a little bit in just a moment with Stephen Deckard from Clinton County EMS, Executive Director. Before that, we want to certainly thank all of our sponsors, appreciate them, and again, keep all the folks down south in your prayers. TC Trailers, if you're not pulling a TC Trailer, you're not pulling your weight in Compass Credit Union, community-minded just like you. Marshan's Window Tinting in Antioch, we stick it where the sun shines. Virk's Fine Jewelry in Lafayette. Susan Casper State Farm Insurance, like a good neighbor, Susan is there. Ivy Tech Community College, changing lives. Big O Tires in Lebanon, big deals, save money now, 24-7 at welovebigdeals.com. Freckles Graphics, Jim's Heating and Air Conditioning, BooneCountyDailyNews.com, your free local news source for Lebanon and Boone County. CarrollCountyDailyNews.com, your free local news service for Delphi and Flora. And ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, your free local online newspaper for everything else. And then our Hoosierland Party Line online telecast brought to you by 51 West Event Center, the Farmers Bank, Culligan Water of Boone and Clinton County, Day and Genda Funeral Home, Reinhardt Realtors, also TC Trailer, Solidarity Community Federal Credit Union, Sam I.M. Carpet Cleaning, Shoup's Country Foods, Big O Tires in Lebanon, Freckles Graphics, Arborwood of, by Shoup's, and Welty's Exteriors, all helping us out today, bringing you today's broadcast. Speaking of today, sunny and high near 74. Tonight, a clear with a low around 46, and tomorrow, sunny with a high near 78. So beautiful weather here in north central Indiana, not so much down south, but we're grateful that we have the weather that we have, and we're grateful to have our guest this morning joining us via telephone, Mr. Stephen Deckard. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. How are you today?
Hey, I'm doing fine. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate it. Glad that you could be with us. Well, first of all, it's, you know, we've got calm weather here, but it has been crazy down south. You can probably imagine what your peers are going through downstairs, down in Florida, North Carolina, Tennessee. I can't imagine.
Yeah, I'm just grateful we're here in Indiana, a landlocked state with no hurricanes, because I could not imagine trying to coordinate the rescue response down there and just the logistics of recovery and rescue. It's just a tragedy. It really is.
Yeah, you're looking at those scenes, especially over like in Chimney Rock, North Carolina, and some of those areas, those smaller communities that just don't necessarily have the resources. It is amazing. It's going to take all hands on deck to try to get these communities back up and operating, and we certainly will continue to pray for them. But you've been with us now for what, a couple of years now, right? As in this
position.
Yeah. So what's been the biggest surprise for you, Stephen?
Well, I think I have many surprises every day, right? You don't know what you don't know until you learn it. And,
right.
You know, there's components of county government that, you know, I'll be honest, I'd forgotten since I had learned it in public school. And it's been good to learn that stuff again and learn the dynamics and the intricacies and the interpersonal relationships. And then, you know, just the everyday stuff with people. You know, we can sit and crunch numbers and look at statistics and data, and at the end of the day, everything is just driven by human beings too. And so, you know, it's got many surprises and keeps me on my toes every day.
Yeah, we talk about different things that happen in different, you know, whether I'm kind of in the, I'm more in the manufacturing and industrial world and economic development and all of that, but technology certainly has made a huge difference in that world. How does technology change the dynamics of your world in emergency management?
Oh, wow. That's a loaded question. You know, I think right now what we're seeing is, you know, this explosion of AI and the different roles that that's trying to break into healthcare with. And I know the hospital systems are seeing it. We're seeing it in the pre-hospital setting as well. And I think that we'll continue to see more expansion and more patient tools in terms of that. And I mean, a lot of the equipment that we have is tech driven. Our cardiac monitors, our ventilators, and all this data and patient feedback that we're receiving and interpreting is, you know, all provided with objective computer data. And that really enhances our patient care.
Yeah, it's amazing. You mentioned AI, and I think that we're just beginning to scratch the surface of what that's going to mean, both good and bad. I think it could be a positive and a negative. But when you start thinking about technology in the medical world and some of the things that are being introduced, I got to imagine your head is spinning sometimes of some of the things that you could probably go. And then those things you have to kind of experiment with to see if that really works for, you know, for you and your department.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, it's all very interesting. And I'm intrigued to see how it continues to grow. I really am.
Yeah, so when you're... let's talk a little bit about if someone were to call, what would be the expectations of someone that, you know, they call 911, you know, what is the first thing someone can expect if a family is going through a situation where they have to call something for a loved one or something? What can they expect in that first responder's response?
Well, initially it's going to go through dispatch, and then you know, Renee Crick and her team do a phenomenal job of fielding the call and
Absolutely.
Coordinating resources. And then upon our arrival, you know, we're going to bring our cot in, we're going to bring our cardiac monitor in, we're going to go in and assess the patient. You know, on a very routine call, it may take us 10 minutes to just have a conversation with the patient, determine what's going on, get a set of vitals, and then get them transferred over to the cot and taken to the hospital. Other scenes are much more dynamic and much more involved, and we may have to be on scene for 30 minutes, stabilizing, starting multiple different medications and continuous infusions and putting them on the ventilator. And it just, every call is different. They all start the same with somebody calling 911 and then us responding. But from the moment we step out of the ambulance, everything's different from there.
Well, you know, you see all of these new television shows like 911 Rescue and all these things. What is
that? Oh, goodness, yeah.
How does that make you feel as a professional that does this every day? I know they put a lot of drama because it's television. I understand
it
that.
Is.
But you guys try to probably avoid as much drama as possible.
We do try to. Yeah, I would say, you know, it's all glorified, right? And they get a lot of things wrong, and, you know, it's kind of cringy for us to watch, and we're like, well, that's not reality. But, hey, if people find it entertaining and, you know, it piques interest in the community and EMS and rescue and response, then, I think it plays its role. I mean, I think of, like, Top Gun, initial Top Gun, and the recruitment that it generated for the Navy and the Air Force, and everybody wanted to go be a fighter pilot, right? And, I mean, we're nowhere near as cool as fighter pilots, but when you see the rescues on TV and stuff, people, you know, get captivated by that, and they think, hey, maybe I could go do that. And I think it's good for recruitment for the industry.
Yeah, well, I will say, you know, as also a minister, I've been in a lot of situations where you guys have arrived. It's always been the utmost professionalism, and do a great job, and greatly appreciate all the work that you and your team do. I hope you got a little fish the other night. I brought some fish to you guys the other night, so I hope they shared with you from our fish fry, but maybe not.
That's incredibly generous. I did not personally get any fish.
Oh,
but
no, that's not good. Okay. Well,
we
finished up our fish fry. We had a couple of pans left over, so we thought, well, we'd share with our EMS friends. So, and hope you guys enjoyed it. But the thing that we have to recognize that in those emergency situations, those emergency moments that happen, there is drama, and there's one of the things that you guys have to do is be able to, like, I like the word you said that you mentioned, assess. You have to and you have to assess it pretty quickly, because you could have a multiple different dynamics going on, correct?
Absolutely. Especially, like, I guess, well, really in trauma and medical patients, we can have different, in medical patients, we can have different disease etiologies that are driving the patient's condition. And then in trauma, I mean, we can have multiple injuries that we have to assess, evaluate, and prioritize our treatment strategy for.
Yeah. How long have you been involved in EMS, Stephen?
9 years now.
9 years. What is some of the biggest change? I know we mentioned technology, but what are some of the biggest changes that you have seen, whether it be through policy or whether it be through technology? What are some of the biggest changes have you seen in the last 9 years?
Ooh. It's a tough question.
Or maybe some of the biggest challenges you're facing.
That's also a tough question. I think that some of the biggest changes that we've seen are, the COVID 19.
Yeah, that changed a lot of stuff. Yeah,
it showed a lot of holes within the healthcare system and a lot of deficiencies, and we dealt with a lot of the limitations that people had access to when people had access to healthcare. Whether it be preventative medicine or ongoing care, we had no, they weren't being seen. And so it really changed how we were engaging with the community there, kind of transitioning from, responding to more acute on chronic diseases to now we're responding to disease processes that people didn't even know that they had because they haven't seen a doctor in 3 years. Because when they were last supposed to go, they said, no, don't come in, right? And so we kind of saw a spiral with a decrease in the quality of access to care that people had there. And that was a nationwide problem. And so I think EMS struggled with that, trying to change and adapt with that while keeping our status quo. I think that technology, it seems like every year we've got new pieces of equipment coming out, and obviously everybody's trying to sell their stuff. But I think the biggest, like, bang for your buck that has changed patient care in the pre-hospital setting is portable IV pumps. And so instead of, when I started, we had to eyeball our drips. Like, we're looking at our drips, and you're trying to do med math and calculate how many drips in the back of an ambulance are dropping into your drop counter, and you hit a speed bump and all of a sudden your count's wrong. Now we have these continual IV pumps that take 2 minutes to program, and all of a sudden your hand's free now and you don't even have to look at it, you just know it's running.
Well, see, that's so something that maybe most of the public didn't even know that it existed, but it certainly changes the dynamic in your work day.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It does indeed. Yeah. Wow.
So something that that has made things a little smoother, especially on a bumpy ride, bumpy ambulance ride. That's for sure. Now, yeah. You guys are involved in Lifeline. I mean, I know IU Health runs the aviation part of it, but that's a totally different scene when you're trying to get someone on a helicopter versus the back of an ambulance.
Yeah. I'll just say that I'll try not to dive too deep into it. I'll just say that, Clinton County EMS, we have a really high scope of practice here and access to a lot of quality medications and quality care, and the amount of patients that we fly out are exceptionally limited. We do less than 10 scene flights a year.
Wow.
And I would say that the trend is moving towards zero scene flights a year. I would not be surprised if I reported less than five within the next year.
Well, that's fantastic. I mean, that is so why is that? Is it just because of the technology, because of the being able to get there on the scene quicker, or are all the above? What?
I think that just the advancement in the scope of practice, advancement in the technology and the resources that we have, as well as the standard that we have for our providers here. And I think that, yeah, I the gap between flight versus ground has closed very rapidly, especially here in Clinton County. And there's really not a huge significant difference. I know everybody's captivated or, you know, entranced when a helicopter comes in and thinks it's the coolest thing, but there's a lot of components into the decision making of whether or not we're going to fly a patient out. And thankfully here in Clinton County, we've got a lot of good resources. It's not necessary most of the time.
Yeah. And you know, you're making decisions that are not only for your health, but you know, for the wealth of the person. I mean, that's a pretty specific, you know, significant monetary expense that happens when you get in the helicopter. We've had a few patients over the years, again, that I have driven, but I felt like I have flown down to, you know, IU or St. Vincent because they were flown down there, and that little trip is quite costly. So it does make a difference if there's good wisdom being you know, used on the ground for that patient, and if they're getting great care and they can get that kind of care on the ground versus in the air. So again, something that we certainly appreciate. And I live in the path. It seems like I live in the path of the helicopter, and I'm always praying every time I hear a helicopter. I'm praying that that's not Lifeline. So, we definitely pray for you guys. And speaking of that, so tell me a little bit about how you guys handle and take care of your personnel. I mean, it's got to be brutal in the sense of some of the trauma that you guys are you experience on a regular basis. What do you do as a director, and what do you do for the team to basically handle the stress and the tension and the trauma that they see on a regular basis?
That's a great point, and we definitely face it. That's been a big change that I've seen over my 9 years, is that the initial mentality was pull yourself up by your bootstraps, suck it up. It's, you know, it's part of the job. You signed up for this, so on and so forth. You know, my counter is, you know, had somebody inform me when I was getting into this that I was going to have, you know, a significantly increased risk of, you know, alcohol abuse, substance use disorder, divorce rates, suicidal ideation, other mental health disease, I might have second-guessed this decision to get into this career, right?
Yeah, right.
You can't really be prepared to see and do what we do until you do it. And it's baptism by fire, per se. But the way that we support our teams here is what we brought in a professional, Dr. Kelly Dardine with Suncrest Psychological Services. She specializes in mental health for first responders. She was actually an EMT herself. I believe we were the first EMS agency that she partnered with, and her team has been tremendous in helping support our crews doing critical incident debriefs of really tough cases, whether it's infant loss cases or multi-casualty motor vehicle accidents. And so we coordinate care with her a lot. We make sure that our team gets seen and our team gets cared for. And we're trying to be very proactive in making sure that everybody's mind is okay and it's healing, and we're able to process the things that we're seeing and doing.
Yeah, it really is a great, hats off to you, a great, you know, I think, something that people don't realize what you guys go through and what the first responders deal with. It's something that you don't get a chance to talk about it. You don't want to bring it home a lot of times, and you don't have a chance to process it. You're doing it, like you said, baptism by fire, and you're in the midst of this thing, and then that shockwave, that's the, you know, the post-traumatic syndrome that takes place. And it's great to know that you guys are getting that care. And is that a regular basis? Does she come in on a regular basis, or is it as needed?
It's as needed. And then we cover 6 visits for our team to go be evaluated in office. So we'll do a critical incident debrief, and she'll come to, or one of her team members will come to our location and work with the crew and talk things through. And then if anything else is ongoing, the crews have the opportunity to reach out anonymously and be seen for 6 visits. You know, we have no idea who's going unless they tell us that they're going. And I get an invoice, you know, at the end of the month that just has random numbers generated. And I think that the crews have been really, really appreciative and also accepting of the fact that, you know, it's more than encouraged to go and seek the help when needed.
Well, the neat thing about it that it's even there, that it's available. I think that that's, you know, it's kind of like having you know, that backup generator. You know, you've got something there that you know that you can kind of count on if there is if you have that trauma or you have those situations. How do you recruit, Stephen? I mean, are you getting good you know, folks applying? I mean, is there a recruitment process as far as going after new employees?
Yeah. Before I answer that question, I'll just share. I'm going to have to hop off here in just a moment.
Okay.
I've got another matter I got to attend to.
No problem.
For recruitment, yeah, right now, our big recruitment pipeline is our paramedic and EMT programs that we do in-house, and we like to pull from there. And then we will have, as we have openings, you know, we post on Facebook, and you know, our last post got 130 some shares, and I think it's fantastic that the community wants to get the word out about, hey, you know, our team has an opening. And we also try to, you know, recruit by word of mouth. I think the EMS in general is a very small community, and especially paramedics, there's I may be wrong on my statistic, but I think there's only like 1,500 active paramedics in the state of Indiana. And so everybody kind of knows everybody, or they've heard of somebody. And so when we hear that somebody's doing really, really well somewhere, when an opportunity comes for us to fill a spot, then we try to go recruit them and say, hey, you know, we've heard great things, come to apply and we'll see how you do. And that's kind of the market right now. It's small, it's limited. But that's what makes having our paramedic programs so beneficial to our community. One, we know the training our students are receiving. We know the education they're walking out with, and we get to see them for a year and how they provide patient care in a student setting, and be prepared for what their strengths and weaknesses are and help them continue to grow as they transition into a paramedic role.
Well, I tell you, it's you're doing the Lord's work, Stephen. I know you got to go, and we greatly appreciate all that that you guys do. And hopefully, if there's any more fish or anything else, make sure we get donuts or whatever. I'll get it over to you.
Well, hey, we greatly appreciate it. Thank you for having me this morning and being flexible with me. I greatly appreciate it.
No problem. I know. Hey, you got to go. When you got to go, you got to go. And thank you for what you do. And have a great day. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Thanks. Stephen Deckard, the director of EMS, EMA for Clinton County, doing some great work. A lot of folks depend upon that 911. When he mentioned also Renee Crick and the dispatch folks, they do an outstanding job. If you've ever had the opportunity the need to call 911, you're going to get courtesy, professionalism. You know, and sometimes people may say, well, they're a little, you know, short, or they're trying to get answers, so they need to get those answers right away, and they're trying to track calls, they're trying to make sure that, is this an emergency? That's the other frustrating part, you know, that the public, what they have to deal with in the public. So, you know, when you're making a 911 call over, you didn't get ketchup on your hamburger and you're upset with the McDonald's or customer service, you know, that's not 911. Okay. That's an 800 number that you call on the back of your Big Mac burger or carton, whatever. But it's not a 911 call. But unfortunately, we in this world have, we think it's such easy access just to pick up the phone and dial. It's designed for emergencies. And for some, and any time your non-emergency call is maybe costing someone else, possibly even their life. So just be cognizant of that and understanding of that as you navigate your own life. And I greatly appreciate what Stephen said about the Lifeline. We have these conversations with families when we're at the hospital. You know, can you afford to get on the Lifeline? Being able to make those decisions and being helped with that and supportive of that in those very challenging times. We're very blessed in Clinton County to have the leadership that we do and be able to, you know, help folks get that understanding and make that decision that they need to make that's not only going to help them, you know, in the immediate scenario of whether it's a matter of life or death or better health, but also down the road when they get those bills in the mail. And it's quite a shock sometimes. You know, a Lifeline ride is not cheap. So, but we're very thankful that it's there and available. But again, to Stephen's point, it's something that needs to be evaluated, and we appreciate all of our medical professionals that can help us evaluate that and understand that. We also certainly appreciate all of our Party Line sponsors, TC Trailers. If you're not pulling a TC trailer, you're not pulling your weight. Encompass Credit Union, community-minded just like you. Marshan's Window Tinting in Antioch, we stick it where the sun shines. Virk's Fine Jewelry in Lafayette. Susan Casper State Farm Insurance, like a good neighbor, Susan is there. Ivy Tech Community College, changing lives. Big O Tires in Lebanon. Also, Big Deals, save money now, 24/7, welovebigdeals.com. And I think, let's see, what is today's big deal? There's some big deals happening today. It's it's going to be a scary watch welovebigdeals.com for the month of this month of October. Some scary deals. So there's not a specific deal, but you can go online at welovebigdeals.com and get that special deal of today. And that is, I think there's going to be some really good bargains regarding the fall season. So jump on welovebigdeals.com and you'll find out. Freckles Graphics, Jim's Heating and Air Conditioning, Boone County Daily News.com, Carroll County Daily News.com, Clinton County Daily News.com, your free local online newspapers to help you navigate the world of current events. WILO Party Line Online Telecast at HoosierLandTV.com is brought to you by 51 West Event Center. Hard to talk today. The Farmers Bank, Culligan Water of Boone and Clinton County, Day and Genda Funeral Home. Also, Reinhardt Realtors, TC Trailers, Solidarity Community Federal Credit Union, Sam I Am Carpet Cleaning, Shoop's Country Foods, Big O Tires in Lebanon, Freckles Graphics, Arborwood by Shoop's, and Welty's Exteriors, all helping us today with the online telecast. So appreciate them, and you can tune in to HoosierLandTV.com. Just click that Party Line link, and you can see us live, or if you want to see it later on, or hear the show later on as well. Today, I know it's not what's happening down in Florida, but our weather here, sunny with a high near 74. Tonight, clear with a low of a 46. Tomorrow, sunny with a high near 78. The weekend looking pretty good as well. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low of 54 for Friday night football. Saturday, partly sunny with a high near 75. Saturday night, 40% chance of showers. Mostly cloudy with a low of 53. And then Sunday, mostly sunny, breezy, with a high near 70, a little cooler than we've had here in the last few days, but that's okay. We'll take it. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and talk to Jason Forsythe of the Street Department, Frankfort Street Department, keeping it clean, safe for you as we navigate Frankfort, and we'll talk more about that coming up here on Party Line.
Your home for classic hits, 1570 AM, 96.9 FM, and now at 102.7 FM. This is WI.